Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Former Israeli ambassador to the United Nations and the United States, Gilad Erdan, has revealed that he was instructed not to criticize Qatar, even as concerns grew about Doha's ties to Hamas. This revelation really does raise some very tough questions about Israel's foreign policy, its security establishment, and the choices perhaps that it made following October the 7th. To unpack what this means for Israeli strategic interests, I'm joined by Akiva Spiegelman. He's a media and foreign affairs advisor. Akiva, good morning. It's such an... I think we all had the sense that Israel was holding back on criticism of Qatar. The question, of course, is why would they do so given what we know about Qatar's support of Hamas?
So good morning, Howard. Israel has been very wary of Qatar for some time now, and yet Qatar was involved in the negotiation to free the hostages. That's why we were very careful with them, I think. It should be stated, whenever there's an event with a foreign entity, right away there's a message that goes out to all ministers and MKs to refrain from using social media or commenting on certain situations, like we saw with Qatar, partially because the information isn't full yet. And it's still, even a few days later, we still don't have a full identification of the people who were taken out during this attack. And so that's part of the idea. But when it comes to Qatar, it's very tricky. And now, with them essentially pulling out of the negotiations, there have been more calls to not hold back when it comes to criticizing them. They have been hosting Hamas for much time. They are the home of Al Jazeera, who has actually impacted the way our soldiers act in Gaza, because they've been recorded in positions they shouldn't have been. Most media outlets understand the danger of showing where forces are. Al Jazeera has made a point to almost obstruct the IDF activity, and so there was also action against them. But I think now, with Qatar showing really where its true colors are, that Israel will feel more free to blame them for hosting a terror entity for so much time.
Do you think that it would have made a difference if earlier on, soon after October 7th, when there was a certain amount of support, well, certainly more support globally for Israel than there was right now, if Israel demanded and gave Qatar a deadline in terms of dealing with Hamas, who they have been sheltering? Would it have made a difference?
I think so. I think it would have made a big difference. Us making it a point to every nation that hides terrorists and terrorist supporters that they will be on target. And I fear that message came a little bit too late, and also the timing is questionable. I don't think Netanyahu had any idea to halt a hostage deal. That wasn't the point of this attempt. I think it comes with opportunity. And when these kind of intelligence opportunities come our way, we need to utilize them. And that's what they did. And hopefully they succeeded, but we still don't know. But yes, there was definitely a place to hold Qatar accountable. And for any nation, just as we commemorated 9/11 yesterday, the U.S. did not hold back when it came to Al-Qaeda. They went to Iraq. They went to Pakistan. They went to Afghanistan. They didn't hold back. They tried new tactics. Israel also, should be said, after the Munich Olympics, we did not hold back punches. Anyone who was involved in that attack, we found them, we hunted them down, and we eliminated them. And that's what we should have done a long time ago, I think. And again, the timing now is questionable about its effects on many, many aspects of our lives right now. Also, Qatar has shown that it's willing to be militant, not that it has the ability to, and we're prepared to counterattack it, but they've shown their true colors. And yes, they should definitely have been put on hold much earlier than they were.
Does it suggest other concerns? We know that Qatar has funded a huge amount of activity in the United States. It owns properties, I believe more properties in London than the royal family does. We know that they are very, very powerful, and they have infiltrated many organizations and governments around the world. Could that have, and I'm not clear on the relationship with Israel, either above or below the surface, but could that influence that Qatar has around the world, including the United States, been part of Israel's hesitancy to call them out and to act decisively?
Absolutely. Qatar has been spending money globally in order to show its value, its economic value, and we've seen it also in the sports field. By the way, this year there's supposed to be EuroLeague games being played in Qatar, which is an issue. We have two EuroLeague teams here, and so it touches a large range of fields and activities, and money unfortunately talks. We've seen it after October 7th, how the camps has erupted. There was money already put in place. The universities are funded by a lot of Qatar money. And yes, it has a big effect. Money makes its way, unfortunately, and people don't see the color of money a lot of the time. But it's something that we need to start addressing. I think President Trump also needs to start addressing it more fluently and more thoroughly, seeing what the money is actually funding, what kind of people it's attracting, what kind of businesses it's attracting, and its effect on the global market. But unfortunately, and at the end, the money goes a long way in trying to set a agenda. And so we have to keep an eye on that. And people need to, again, very wary of where they put this money and if they accept this money to begin with and its effect on how policy is made. Mm-hmm. We've seen that very, very clearly in universities.
Absolutely. So looking ahead, final question, does Israel need to fundamentally rethink its alliance and strategy in this regard?
I think everyone needs to see at this point who their enemies and who their friends are. To us, Qatar has been not an enemy state, but again, moderating the negotiations, so we had to be very careful with them. At this point, and after I think also warnings were given, saying do not shield these terrorists, they didn't listen to those orders, they didn't feel any need to change anything. But I think it's time for people to restart thinking who their friends are, who their enemies are, who they're shielding. No other country knowingly aware where their enemies are would be okay with what Qatar has been doing with Hamas. They've been very comfortable in Qatar. They've had a number of offices and hideouts. And that's, again, why part of the question is if the operation succeeded or not. But we all need to be very aware of where our enemies are and to not not allow them to live freely, especially after October 7th.
Absolutely. That is where we leave it. Akiva Spiegelman, media and a foreign affairs advisor. Thank you for helping us work out that situation.